Darren Adam on LBC.
Go back to our conversation about the news that one in five adults across the UK have had depressive symptoms during the pandemic in just a few moments. I want to break away from this for just a moment, though, because news reaching us, as you may have heard, that Donald Trump's ban from Facebook and Instagram has been upheld by the Oversight Board of Facebook, but they have criticised the permanent nature of the ban as being beyond the scope of Facebook's normal penalties. I'll touch on this, of course, with Will Guyatt later on in about an hour from now, technology lessons with our tech wizard Will Guyatt just after 3:30 this morning. Donald Trump was banned from both sites in January following the Capitol Hill riots. And it is interesting, I think, that you've got this sort of split, it seems, between Facebook and the Facebook Oversight Board, the latter saying that the former didn't really have rules in place to make this a permanent ban. Let's get more on this with Simon Marks, LBC's Washington correspondent. Morning, Simon. Facebook then, to an extent, has absolved itself, I suppose, or at least the Oversight Board absolving itself of responsibility here.
Yeah, I mean, I think this was obviously very bad news for Donald Trump. It's not what he wanted. He had submitted a written brief to this Facebook Oversight Board requesting the immediate reinstatement of his account on both Facebook and Instagram. And the Oversight Board didn't deliver that to him. Indeed, they upheld the view that Facebook was right to pull him off Facebook and Instagram after the posts that he published in the days and the hours leading up to the insurrection on Capitol Hill on January the 6th by conspiracy theory believing Donald Trump supporters. But this Oversight Board was also pretty critical of the way in which Facebook had handled all of this, specifically accusing the company of making the rules up as they went along and essentially inventing a punishment for Donald Trump that wasn't part of the arsenal of sanctions that existed, namely this indefinite suspension. In other words, Donald Trump had been kind of left twisting in the wind. Does an indefinite suspension mean permanent? Does it mean that at some point he might be allowed back on the platform? And so what the members of the board have said to Mark Zuckerberg is, you've got 6 months to go and sort this out, and you've got to decide. If it's a permanent ban, you take him off permanently, you delete all evidence of his presence on the platform. And if it's not a permanent ban, you've got to give him a date for when he's going to be able to get back on it.
Well, we'll talk more about this with our tech wizard, our technology correspondent, Will Guyatt, a bit later on. But again, what I find sort of fascinating here, Simon, is that Facebook did not have rules in place which were being breached by what Trump was doing in January, by those comments, by his posts, which, as you say, led to that act of domestic terrorism taking place on the 6th of January. How could it have been possible for that not to have breached rules which were already in place?
Well, that is what is so extraordinary about the developments of the day here. This Oversight Board, and we should just explain that this is an Oversight Board notionally independent from Facebook, even though its 20 or so members were hand-picked by Facebook and indeed are paid for their service by Facebook. But they claim not to be influenced in any way by the company in reaching their decisions. And they revealed what I think many of us had surmised, that there was no consistency whatsoever in the way in which the platform was or is applying the rules, particularly when it comes to kind of high-value figures on its platform and those in positions of substantial national political influence. So supporters of former President Donald Trump have been taking to the airwaves here to say, well, hang on a second, how is it possible that Donald Trump is banned indefinitely or for whatever length of time it turns out to be from Facebook? But Syrian President Bashar al-Assad is still on there, still able to post at will, often posting completely false and fictional claims about human rights in Syria, for example, or the conduct of the war in Syria, or his own political leadership. How is it possible that the rules that have been implemented against Donald Trump don't get implemented against Bashar al-Assad? And I think that the Oversight Board was essentially calling time on all of that and saying to Mark Zuckerberg, you have got, you know, you want to be this kind of all-encompassing publisher who doesn't want to be the arbiter of truth, but you've really now got to step up to the plate in some fashion.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would say, well, both of those individuals, Trump and the Syrian president, ought not to be using Facebook given their record of mendacity or indeed incitement to violence. which I think is provable in both cases. Donald Trump, you say, has submitted a written document to Facebook sort of pleading his case. I wonder, did he spray random capitalization around in that he has on his new social media outlet, which we'll talk about in just a few moments, said what Facebook, Twitter and Google has done is a total disgrace and an embarrassment to our country. The people of our country will not stand for it. People and country both randomly and inexplicably capitalized. But he has set up a new social media outlet, which resembles, to all intents and purposes, a blog, doesn't it, late 90s?
It doesn't just, it looks like a duck, it quacks like a duck. It's a blog. It's not even a blog. It's a page on his website. I mean, after all this expectation from Donald Trump and his supporters that his new social media platform was going to be, you know, the biggest thing to hit the internet since Google. And he seems to have spent months now reconnecting with the public through nothing more than a web page in which his things that, you know, his thoughts that normally previously would have appeared on Twitter or Facebook now get published. Interestingly, they come, each one of them, with a button that allows the user then to put them on Twitter or put them on Facebook. So he's trying to get onto those platforms by the back door. I think that there are a couple of elements to Donald Trump's reaction to all of this. I mean, first of all, within the Trump inner circle, there is genuinely deep disappointment because I think that the former president understands the extent to which Facebook is going to be a hugely important tool for him as we head towards 2024, where even if he's not planning to run for the presidency again, he's absolutely determined to be the Republican kingmaker. But secondly, also, this fuels Donald Trump's insistence that conservative voices are being unfairly treated by the big social media platforms. And that, in turn, is fueling the determination of Republicans in Congress loyal to Donald Trump to start dismembering Facebook. And so for Mark Zuckerberg, in terms of the long-term structure of his company, today has been a very bad day.
We are still in the first few days, really, or the first 100 days plus of the Joe Biden presidency. And often it's the first year of a presidency where presidents can get most done, and the first year in which things are at their least controversial. You and I, Simon, before too long, we'll be talking about the midterms. Next year, the next big electoral test for both of the main parties. What's your reading of the situation at the moment? Because Trump was so polarizing, and the last few years in America have been so polarizing, that if you look at the Joe Biden approval numbers, historically they're not very that high, but his disapproval numbers aren't very high either, which means that the country seems to remain pretty divided.
Yeah, I think that is exactly where we are. Totally, absolutely polarized and polaxed by division. On the one hand, Democrats are fawning over Joe Biden. I mean, if I had a dollar for every comparison that was made last week here to Franklin Delano Roosevelt, you know, honestly, I would, I'd be on a beach somewhere. These kind of completely overblown, premature conclusions that Joe Biden is the towering figure of his age, versus the reality of a situation where the President of the United States says, look, we're locked into mortal combat between liberal democracies like the United States and autocracies like China and Russia. And we've got to prove to them that we can work because they don't believe it. They think we're so polarized, we're not going to be able to get anything done, and we're not going to be able to rise up and meet them in a consequential battle for the hearts and souls of people all over the world. The reality is the Senate is split 50-50. President Biden conceded today that he just doesn't get the Republicans after an internecine war is being waged on Capitol Hill over the future of Liz Cheney's position as a leader of the Republican Party in the House of Representatives. She, of course, a daughter of former Vice President Dick Cheney. So, yeah. I mean, not exactly shrinking liberal figures on the political stage here. But if you don't get Republicans, how can you possibly hope to work with them? You know, they don't want to work with you either. No. They've already declared your American Families Plan dead on arrival. They've declared your infrastructure plan dead on arrival. So the pathway to becoming that kind of towering historical figure like FDR looks very complicated, especially when one remembers that when FDR was president, his Democratic Party had a two-thirds majority in the Senate.
And with Joe Biden, of course, we're talking about someone who's been in the Senate for a couple of hundred years. So he has made relationships with those Republican senators on the other side of the aisle. And yet that seems to count for naught because of where the GOP is right now.
Yeah, but you see, that was supposed to be his golden ticket, right? I mean, throughout the election campaign, he projected himself as the single person in the Democratic firmament who, because of his Senate experience, knew Mitch McConnell, he knew the once smoke-filled rooms up on Capitol Hill. Once he got in, he'd be able to give him a call. They'd get together in one of those once smoke-filled rooms, and they'd sort everything out. Well, who was on the receiving end of Donald Trump's ire today, among the many targets? Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader in the Senate. Even Mike Pence, the former vice president, was being accused of not having done enough to fight to prove that last November's election was rigged. So all of that has kind of disappeared. He's got his spending bill through. He might get infrastructure through. That's possible. But as to anything else really of consequence happening on Capitol Hill, this side of those midterm elections, that's going to be very difficult. So the calculation that the White House is making is that Joe Biden is sorting out COVID-19 one way or another. Even if this country doesn't get to herd immunity, he will claim he's resolved the issue and put the country back on the path to economic success. And he's hoping that in 2022, in November of next year, number two, he'll be able to persuade enough voters that he knows the way to a successful future, and that the Republicans are this sort of just right-wing, white, as George W. Bush put it this week, the party of white Anglo-Saxon Protestantism, and that's not the way you're going to win an election.
Simon, thank you very much. Simon Marks, LBC's Washington correspondent. More on Trump no longer, or continuing to be banned at least, from Facebook and Instagram with Will Guyatt. We talk tech after 3:30 this morning. Back in just a moment, though, to our conversation about depression. One in five adults in Britain experiencing symptoms of depression during the pandemic. LBC at 2:47.
Thanks for listening to Simon Marks Reporting. And if you like what you heard, click the subscribe button and come back soon for more. And I'd love it if you'd give me a review. Those can be hugely helpful in spreading the word. Thanks a lot. More from me soon.